Barbarian Tribes of Rome, the Celts. Celtic Tribes, Part 1, the Celtiberians. Whether or not Celtic culture originated with the Hallstatt culture and expanded out of the rest of Europe, or whether distinct ethnicities Celticized over the time, one thing is for sure, and that is by 200 BCE, most of Europe was settled by people speaking some version of the Celtic language. Yet while it would be nice to think of these different cultures that all shared the same language as homogeneous, mainly because it would make it easier to study them, this simply isn't a reality. Instead, there existed a great diversity within the Celtic culture, ranging from how people lived to the version of Celtic language they spoke. There are a few different reasons for this. The most obvious is there was no unified Celtic political structure that was able to impose a dominant culture and therefore bring the many different subdivisions closer together. But another reason was that the Celts who migrated throughout Europe started off as different cultures. Tribes that moved from the Hallstatt zone into the Po Valley may have been completely different from those that moved into the Rhineland, the Marne, southern France, Britain, and the Iberian Peninsula. Instead, we see various tribes of different backgrounds all speaking the same language, taking very different paths to establish themselves in different places in Europe. So in order to properly study the Celts, it's important to learn about the different subdivisions that exist within the Celtic culture. The best way to do this is to break the Celts up by region. And even though there are many different ways to do this, one of the easiest, at least for those familiar with modern geography, is to divide the Celts into the Celtiberians, Gauls, and the Britons. Within these groups, there are many more subdivisions, and knowing their names as well as some of their background information about them can make it easier to piece together the rest of ancient Celtic history. The Celtiberians, or sometimes referred to as the Celtiberians, would include the Lusitanians, the Asturias, the Cantabri, and the Galaci. As the name suggests, the Celtiberians are actually a mixture of Celtic and Iberian people, the Iberians being the natives of the Iberian Peninsula who spoke their native Iberian language. Generally speaking, the Celtiberians occupied the northern parts of the Iberian Peninsula, whereas the Iberians occupied the south. Both groups caused the Romans considerable trouble when they first landed in the peninsula and tried to conquer it. But within the subdivision of the Celtiberians or Celtiberians, there are several other groups that are important to understand the Celtic presence in the Iberian Peninsula. The Lusitanians. The Lusitanians were a major tribal group that occupied the region between the Tagus and the Douro rivers in what is now Portugal and the Spanish region of Extremadura. However, the Lusitanians are best understood as more of a tribal confederation that was made up of several similar tribes that also called their region home. They spoke a language that is believed to have been linked to Celtic, and they practice a similar religion, although there is evidence that they also borrowed some of these practices from the nearby Basque culture. During the Roman conquest of Iberia, the Lusitanians were one of the principal leaders of the Celtiberian resistance to Roman rule, although they were eventually defeated and over time Romanized. The Asturias, located in the northern coast of Spain at the modern-day autonomous regions of Asturias and León, were a culture based around horse riding and cattle raising. It is possible, according to archaeological evidence, that the Asturias migrated to the Iberian Peninsula as part of the Celtic migration that originated in the Hallstatt zone, which resulted in the Celtization of most of the European continent. As compared to other Celtic cultures at the time, the Asturias were rather centralized. They had a confederation of tribes, and they built a citadel that they used as a capital. They also appear to have worshipped some of the gods we now associate with being characteristically Celtic, such as Turanus and Lu. Evidence of this comes from the fact that many towns in the regions are named after these gods and have been since Roman times. The Cantabri. The Cantabri made their home in the eastern part of the Asturias, near the modern-day region of Cantabria. Over time, they appear to have adopted the same version of a Celtic language, although there is evidence of considerable mixing by nearby tribes, including the non-Celtic Basques. This makes Cantabri a perfect example of how difficult it can be to discern a clear connection between one Celtic tribe and another. The Cantabri were major antagonists to the Romans as they attempted to conquer the Iberian Peninsula on their way to imperial glory. In fact, the Catabrian Wars were the final part of Rome's two-century-long conquest of Hispania. After this war, the Catabri were incorporated into the Latin culture and lost much of their Celtic language. The last one is the Gallaeci. The Gallaeci were a tribal confederation made up of mostly Celtic tribes, but likely included tribes of several distinct ethnicities. They existed in the northwestern region of Spain and the northern region of Portugal. They joined the Lusitanians in the fight against Rome, and there is evidence they served as mercenaries in Hannibal's armies during the Carthaginian Wars with Rome. Known for being fierce fighters, the Gallaeci caused the Romans considerable trouble throughout their conquest. Today, the Celtic culture remains alive in these regions of Spain and Portugal, although the Gallaeci were largely Romanized after their conquest. Next, we'll head over to Gaul. Now, the sources for this, the Germanic people, their origin, expansion, and culture by Owen, the civilization of the steppes by Conrad, and the history of the barbarians, which is a whole series on different groups, and this would, of course, be the Celt version. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment. Check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.